Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God Almighty, you are holy. May we all please bow our heads, oh God, for the opening prayer. Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray.
Thank you.
Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful music that we just heard to your glory. Father, Lord, it's the first Sunday of July, and we're so grateful that you gathered us here again. Father, Lord, it's been the week of our third anniversary. It was powerful. It was punchy. And we all left so encouraged. Father, Lord, as we gather here today, our hearts are opened, our ears are opened, and we're eager to hear what you have for us today. Even as we pray for those who are not here, we ask you to raise up our sister Nana. Father, Lord, as we usher in this new Sunday, we thank you for the fact that we celebrated a powerful third anniversary during our Bible study. It was not a coincidence that it fell on that day, and we left with so much encouragement and so much strength from the Bible verses that were woven together in an amazing and eye-opening manner. Father, Lord, as we sit down today, open our hearts, open our ears, and above all, Father, Lord, let your light shine through our sister Nana, who is leading us in this service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Happy New Year, my brethren. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We'll begin this morning with prayers. And the prayers we are going to start off with is thank the Lord for a new beginning in our fellowship family. Let's go. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this new beginning you are starting with us in this our new fellowship family year. Thank you, Lord, for our third year going on to the fourth. We know that you that have begun a good thing in us, we see us through 4th, 5th, 6th, and ongoing till eternity in the name of Jesus. Father, give us the sustenance that we need. Give us the word and the power that we need. Give us all the necessary equipment and the nutrients that we need, oh God, to live this healthy life on this earth throughout, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel 34:26 says, I will bless my people and their homes. I'm reading from the NLT, New Living Translation Version. Ezekiel 34, verse 26. It says, I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill. And in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. And in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessing. Ah! Hallelujah. When I got this message, I was so charged. You would think as if my legs were flying in the sky, rejoicing and embracing our Father in heaven. I was so, my horizon and my revelation was so enlarged that I couldn't even, I don't even know how I felt. Then tears started coming down my cheeks with gratitude to God. Thank you, because he loved you and he loves me so much. So there's a prayer of refreshing in this new season of our fellowship new year. God is about to pour upon us his showers of blessing. It is not negotiable. It will surely come to bless his people as long as you seek him. So you are going to tell the Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for your showers of blessing upon my life.
Thank you for your
showers of blessings upon my life.
And in every area that concerns me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please pray this prayer with earnestness, believing and trusting God that your showers of blessing are coming upon you right now, non-stop. It is not negotiable, because we are determined to seek God in this family in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your showers of blessing upon my life.
Thank you for your blessings upon my life.
And in every area that concerns me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your showers of blessing upon my life. And in every area that concerns me, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our next prayer says, Follow it. So this is how the Holy Spirit instructed and directed. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for emptying out my mind from every debt stored inside in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for emptying my mind from every debt stored inside in the name of Jesus. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for emptying my mind from every debt that is stored inside. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now you are going to say to God, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for taking over my mind.
Thank you for taking over my mind.
Because.
Thank you for taking over my mind.
Because.
Because.
I will no longer expect or accept bad triggers that result in fear. I will no longer expect or accept bad triggers that result in fear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for taking over my mind. Because I will no longer accept bad triggers that result in fear. In Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our next prayer says, Heavenly Father, thank you for releasing your showers of blessing upon me and my family.
Thank you for releasing your showers of blessings upon me and my family.
From today,
I
receive divine power. Divine inspiration. And operate in peace in Jesus' name.
Operate in peace.
Now you are going to say, my mind as from today.
My mind as from today.
You will live and operate according to the will and instructions of God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Now you are going to say after me. I declare that I, Priscilla Bidell, receive the mind of Christ to excel.
To prosper.
To win souls.
And be strengthened.
According to
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16,
that says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
This
amen.
Scripture, amen. This scripture unites our mind with Christ. Amen. Believe every word and prayer you have just confessed, declared, and pronounced that it is so in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, that you have the mind of Christ, then shout three powerful hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Happy New Year, brethren, and happy new season for our fellowship family. Congratulations to everyone. God bless you all.
Thank you, Ma. Congratulations, Ma.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Our message today is titled, The Edification of Our Minds and Soul. This new season is going to be very different. Trust me. From this message, you will know why. First, I would like to talk about the importance of the mind and soul. And this mind and soul, they live in our bodies. So, the body, the mind and soul all work together to build our overall well-being. Because a healthy body keeps you well and active. If your body is not healthy, you will not be active. A healthy mind keeps you focused, and a healthy mind motivates you in the right direction. But a healthy soul keeps you fulfilled and content to be at peace. The soul is your whole consciousness, the life force that is inside of you. This life force is the energy that flows through all living beings, keeping us alive, while the mind is just a projection of the soul. Are you all following me?
Yeah.
Please pay attention. The mind, the body, and the soul, their connection refers to our thoughts and our feelings and how our physical being impacts our thought processes. Now, the listening part of human beings, the listening part of we human beings, which we use to ask questions and perceive things, we call it the mind. So if your mind is elsewhere as I'm speaking to you and the words are falling into your ears and still you don't get it, it is because your mind is elsewhere. So you can't hear what I'm saying to you. You're not paying attention. Therefore, it is through the mind that we see, we smell, we taste, we hear, and experience the sense of touch. That is what the mind is. So the mind, though, has another function, which we call intellect. As I'm speaking to you right now, your mind could be saying to you, yes, I agree with her. Or could be saying to you, no, I don't agree with her. I don't agree what she's saying. That is the mind. There is something in you which is accepting, rejecting, judging, or accommodating my message. That is the intellect. For your information, there are 7 layers to our existence. 7 layers. And those layers are your body, the breath, your mind, your intellect, your memory, your ego, and your soul. Among these 7 layers that I just mentioned, there is only one of them that doesn't change. That is your soul, which is your total consciousness. Does not change. Now, everything else I just mentioned changes. Your thoughts changes. Your emotions changes. Your body changes too. Look in the mirror, my dear brothers and my sisters, and tell me how you look 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or maybe 25 years ago in comparison to your looks today. Your body is much different, but you are still the same person. Even your breathing could change. Ask those with asthma or those that use ventilators or breathing machines to live. They will tell you they were not born in that manner. Their breathing has changed. So there's something in you that is not changing. In spite of all these changes, that is the soul. The soul is the representation of who we are on the inside, the summation of our thoughts from our mind and the feelings from our heart. Again, I will remind you, the title of our message today is the edification of our mind and soul. Because when our mind and soul are fully well informed and edified, they go strong for God without any shaking. They move forward and they move according to the will of God. Now that I've briefly explained to you about the mind and soul, so let's talk about edification. Edification in the Bible means building up of the church or the soul of a person. Edification means in the Bible building up of the church or the soul of an individual. Who is the church? The church is the body of Christ. That is the people that have accepted Jesus Christ's gift of salvation and they are following in his teachings and in his footsteps. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The edification of the mind and soul means the improvement of the mind and the understanding by learning from one another. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Apostle Paul is telling us believers, not unbelievers, he's telling us believers and faithful Christians to pursue peace, encourage others, and set time aside for the edifying of your brothers and your sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 12 says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that you may excel as you are edifying the church. There are many gifts made available to us, diverse spiritual gifts that enable us as Christ followers to serve and to edify others, thereby using them to create unity in the church. For example, if something is done for your edification, it is done to benefit you. Therefore, teaching you about something, it is done for your edification. So our Bible studies and teaching sessions here are thoughts for our edification, to build up our mind and soul up strong enough to operate and function with the mind of Christ. Because, like we declared earlier, we now have the mind of Christ according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16b. But we have the mind of Christ. As believers, we possess the Holy Spirit, who reveals the thoughts and purposes of Christ in us. It means we have to operate like Jesus every day. We have to think like Jesus every time. Live and meditate on His word every day, because the revelation of the kingdom of God that Jesus preached was not understood by the intellect of men, no, but by those who welcomed His truth and surrendered to Him. Edification is what moves us forward in the knowledge of God's word and in the obedience to God. Edification is the process of spiritual growth in a Christian who is living according to the plan and purpose of God. Now, Jesus Christ has gifted His church and equipped His children with His inspired word so that all of us should unite, all of us engage in the ministry to edify one another, that the body of Christ, His church, might be built up, increase, and grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 to 15. Please listen carefully. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 to 15.
Ephesians 4, verse 12 to 15. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The reason church leaders are to train every believer to serve others is for building up the body of Christ. Christian leaders are called to focus on training others to serve. In this way, every believer is growing in maturity and making disciples of others. God called us as members of His body to preach, to teach, to heal, to give ourselves, to build up, to nurture, and many, many more. If we are to fulfill this task by ourselves, it will be impossible. So we need each other. Community of believers function best when all of the individuals are working together towards one goal through their unique talent. Trust me, a healthy church is far more powerful than a big church. Whatever we do to edify one another should be done gracefully, with no corrupt thoughts, no corrupt word coming out of our mouth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to have control over what we say, because we are accountable for words that we use. Matthew 12, verse 36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. This means that everyone will have to render an account to Christ, the judge, for their idle words. Watch your words at all times as a believer in Christ. You now have the mind of Christ, not the mind of foolishness. So watch what you say. If something is done for your edification, it is done to benefit you. Teaching you about spiritual growth and the development of the character of a believer is for your own good. Edification is important in the life of every Christian. The word edification also means building up of a house. Building up of a house. Hebrews 3 verse 6. Hebrews 3 verse 6 says, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I will repeat Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6 that says, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house ourselves are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Let me ask you first, which house do you belong to? That of Christ or another? We are that house if indeed we hold our confidence and hold on to the hope in which we are glorying and rejoicing in. There are consequences when we fall out of fellowship with God. So keep your faith strong till the end and keep yourself still inside the house of Christ. Edification may be individual, may be corporate. Individually, you can edify yourself by participating in the various spiritual disciplines like Bible reading, private prayer, private worship, and so on. The concept of edification applies to the corporate body too. Mutual edification involves helping one another along the road to Christ-likeness, and it requires the participation of all members of the church. Yes, no one is exempted. Teaching and preaching improves our understanding of God. It encourages and promotes our conduct that develops to Christ-like character. When we exhort one another and hold one another accountable, we are prompted to engage in activities that promote godliness. Because the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Yes. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So accountability and follow-up means that we are lovingly checking each other's spiritual progress. This is very important. The other day, we were asked to call our fellowship brethren and pray with them. I was shocked to find out that some people didn't even get a call at all. I felt sad because I know we can do better. Christ-like service ensures that the needs of the church are met. And true fellowship is the interaction we have with each other on a deeper spiritual level. The corporate nature of edification cannot be overemphasized. Without mutual edification, the church becomes a collection of spiritual weaklings, a perpetual nursery for spiritual infants. And we are not, rather than a body that should be strong and united. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 22.
"And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, and through the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Brethren, if a foundation is bad, the building will surely collapse. These verses are letting us know that the church is not built on modern ideas or trends of this world that some of us like to follow, but on spiritual heritage given to us by the early apostles and prophets in the Bible. Their teachings ensure that Christ will be the cornerstone of our faith for all generations. Not for some. By the grace of God, the church has a stable foundation with Christ as the chief cornerstone. As the chief cornerstone, Jesus ensures the stability of the whole system of our salvation, that it is guaranteed. For your information, Jesus was and is the only plan for our salvation. When you read the book of 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul said about three times in the book of 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul said that the building up of the church is the reason for his apostolic authority. Let's read the verse. Let's see those verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 8 says, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." The second one from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 19 says, "Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying." And 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 10 says, "Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord had given me to edification and not to destruction." Paul's goal was to edify. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 23, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." And the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together." From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He is saying that the church must work to edify itself for the overall health of each member. Finally, each of us, we are all commanded to engage in edification. It is not meant for some. Romans 15 verse 2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11 says, wherefore comfort ye and not comfort yourselves together. I'll take that again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The very fact that we need one another gives the church its strength, and the minute we decide to stop learning from one another, we fall. Stop allowing unnecessary excuses to pull you out of attending fellowship and Bible studies. We need each other. We all need to grow. Edification is the process of spiritual growth in a Christian who is living according to the plan of God and who is fulfilling the command to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Collectively, edification refers to the building up of the body of Christ. May our minds and soul receive the full gratification in edification in Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing could stop Apostle Paul as a newly converted Christian who just met Christ. Nothing could stop him from preaching boldly and fearlessly about Christ, not even the threat of the Jews trying to kill him. I pray that as from this moment, all fear of the known and unknown has disappeared from our mind and soul, because we are now operating with the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you will have rest to witness, to edify, and to serve God throughout the journey of your life in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 9 verse 31. Acts chapter 9 verse 31 says, then at the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and we are edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, we are multiplied. With increasing knowledge of God and the awareness of who He is, we are in awe of Him. His holiness, His greatness, and majesty evokes fear in us. The church ought to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit as we edify one another, leading the unsaved to Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 9 to 11.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, for us that wherever we wake up or we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today's message is referring mainly to the body of Christ. But if you are not yet fully part of the body of Christ as one of his followers, we have an opportunity now for you to become one by repeating the prayer of salvation after me. I would like to repeat the last scripture that you just read so that we'll all understand what today's message, the importance of it, what it really means. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 to 11 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Pay attention. Who died for us, that whether we wake or we sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It is now time for prayer of salvation. As we all unmute and you repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned against you.
I
repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me.
I believe that your son Jesus Christ died for my sins.
I believe that
your son Jesus Christ died for my sins.
Was resurrected from the dead.
And he is alive.
I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life. Write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.